at the top of our program today, if you were a fan of the 1980s TV show Knight Rider, you'll remember actor David Hasselhoff riding around in a modified Pontiac Firebird Trans Am that could talk and fly and even scan other vehicles. It was cutting-edge TV sci-fi at the time, but so-called smart cars are not that far away, minus the flying, at least so far. The city of Ann Arbor is emerging as a global leader in connected vehicle technology. The concept is that cars can talk wirelessly with each other and with other parts of the traffic system to adjust to road conditions and avoid accidents. The University of Michigan's Transportation Research Institute has just wrapped up an international symposium on CV technology, and joining us to talk about this budding field is the Institute's director, Dr. Peter Swetman. Welcome to Current State, Dr. Swetman.
Good morning, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here.
Can you give us a good working description of what connected vehicle technology is and maybe an example or two of how it could be used?
Absolutely. So what's happening is that the vehicle is getting what we call situation awareness. So it's a short range technology that recognizes other vehicles and features of the infrastructure, such as intersections and so on, can recognize on a pretty rapid basis. So these vehicles are sending messages 10 times a second, showing the position of other vehicles, and your vehicle automatically calculates whether another vehicle is rapidly moving towards it or moving away from it and so on. So the kinds of things that we kind of do instinctively as drivers, the vehicle is doing for you. Of course, we don't need to know who these other vehicles are. We just know that they're there in the immediate vicinity. So it works well between vehicles. So, for example, to avoid a collision, a rear-end collision or a side impact collision, with what we call V2V, vehicle-to-vehicle communication. Also, the other possibilities relate to, say, intersections where, you know, if somebody's running a red light, then you'll get a warning from the intersection, and possibly even your brakes might be applied automatically in an extreme case. So, they're the kind of examples that we're thinking about.
As some of our listeners know, the city of Ann Arbor already has a large, intricate, connected vehicle test system. What results are we seeing there so far?
Well, Mark, it's been working pretty well. We've had nearly 3,000 vehicles connected in Ann Arbor for 20 months now, running continuously. And we're doing that for the U.S. Department of Transportation. They've funded this study. It's called the Safety Pilot Model Deployment. And, you know, in that we have cars, of course, and we have freight trucks, we have transit buses, we have motorcycles, and we even have one bicycle connected. And our idea is that we would extend it to pedestrians as well. So as the technology becomes suitable to embed in a smartphone, then we can extend it to anyone who's carrying a personal device. So right now in Ann Arbor, we've been collecting this data for, as I said, for 20 months. And on the 3rd of February this year, the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Secretary of Transportation, announced that they intend to move to a rulemaking process so that this very beneficial platform could be installed in all vehicles from a certain date in a few years' time.
So these are privately owned vehicles, commercial vehicles, the whole gamut already using this technology for 20 months.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a mix. So the vehicles that we've put out include some. There's an automotive industry consortium called CAMP in our region here, and so they put a number of these vehicles together, and we got volunteers to drive them as if they were their own vehicles. But the vast majority of the vehicles we have out there are people's own vehicles that we've equipped. So not only can you fit this sort of technology at the factory, if you like, by the original equipment manufacturer, but you can retrofit it, or there are aftermarket devices available. So, and in fact, you know, that's an important aspect of this because, as you could imagine, if we're going to just simply rely on penetration of new vehicles coming into the vehicle fleet on the road, it's going to take quite a while before we get to a high density of connected vehicles. But if we're able to get some aftermarket devices out there, then we can kind of accelerate the benefits very rapidly.
Do you consider the safety advantages of this technology its primary benefit?
Yes. So obviously this technology is being considered and tested all around the world, but I think the United States stands out because we have a very clear focus on safety. So there are many other benefits from this kind of technology, but we're really doing it from the basis that the U.S. Department of Transportation has estimated that this technology can address 80% of serious multi-vehicle unimpaired crashes. So it's really the biggest ticket item since seatbelts, anti-lock brakes, and so on came into vehicles and saved a lot of lives. This technology is really the next big thing in motor vehicle safety.
Our guest on Current State is Dr. Peter Sweatman. Dr. Sweatman is the director of the University of Michigan's Transportation Research Institute. We're talking about all of the work they're doing in Ann Arbor on connected vehicle technology. I beg your pardon. When you talk to the larger public about this idea, what do they tend to make of it?
Well, they're extremely excited about it. So, as I said, we've got nearly 3,000 volunteers here in Ann Arbor, and a number of them most of them, in fact, are parents from the Ann Arbor Public School System. A number of them are also employees of the University of Michigan health system. And so they say to us, well, what's next? You know, they hear about automated vehicles and so on, and there's a sense of excitement around for these new technologies. So I think we get a general sense of bring it on, and the indications are, and certainly there have been some studies with consumers related to this technology that indicate a very high level of acceptance and a certain degree of willingness to pay for it as well, which is always important.
You must encounter the occasional critic who must think that smart cars are no substitute for a live, thinking, reacting human being. How do you tend to respond to them?
Well, I think it's interesting because I think when you tell people that at least 80% and probably 90% of serious crashes are caused by human error, then people realize that this technology is going to be a lot more reliable than the human. And so it doesn't take much to convince people of that. You know, we hear about it also with aircraft and automated landing and takeoff of aircraft and so on. So I think there are a number of areas where automation is coming in and is being accepted. So our impression, too, is that Americans are rather keen on this kind of technology that lets them do other things with their time and be more productive. So maybe even more than other countries, I think Americans are ready for this and will really appreciate it. And so we're going to see not only this connected technology, but we're going to see an increasing level of automation coming in gradually. And this connected technology is great because it really does a lot to support the automated side of things and to really bring that on faster.
Another opportunity to multitask is what it
is. Yeah, that's right. So not everyone will be thrilled about that, you know, but I think most people will be happy about that.
Do you envision the day then when the entire U.S. transportation infrastructure becomes CV friendly or becomes equipped with this technology?
Yes. I think when this technology is coming out in every original equipment vehicle, so it's available, so the platform's available, that's going to make a huge difference. The other side of it, Mark, is that we really do need to have deployment of a certain amount of this technology, wireless units of a particular type, in the infrastructure, on the roadsides. And that's something that, you know, at our symposium the last couple of days, we've really emerged that in the past 12 months since we had our last get-together, The vehicle-to-vehicle side has moved extremely well, and we're very excited. But the vehicle-to-infrastructure side isn't moving fast enough. So it's very important that we find ways to get this technology deployed in the infrastructure. As you could well imagine, at a time when potholes and maintenance is on people's minds, it's hard to talk about spending money on other kinds of technology that would go in the roadsides. And one of the interesting things that came out of our symposium is that there is a pretty interesting business case for this kind of deployment on the infrastructure side. So, because there are many, many services that can be supported via this kind of wireless communication, because it's a very secure, robust form of wireless communication that can be used for other forms of transactions with vehicles. So,
what are you grappling with, though, on this front? Is security, for example, does that topic come up? Is that a concern?
Well, security was an issue from day one, and you know, so this technology has been worked on intensively for 10 years now by the group that we're working with, and that was designed in right from the word go. So. And of course, over that period of time, the general subject of cybersecurity has just, you know, risen to the top of the public agenda in the whole nation. So, fortunately, you know, this has been a key part of everything we've done. So, there's a very capable security system built into this, so that there is absolutely no chance of identifying or retaining any of this information.
Fascinating stuff. We want to thank our guest, Peter Swetman. Peter is the director of the Transportation Research Institute at the University of Michigan, and he's at the cutting edge of connected vehicle technology in Ann Arbor and elsewhere. Dr. Swetman, many thanks.
Thank you, Mark.